Hey, and welcome to another episode of Natural Fertility with Dr. Jane. I, of course, am Dr. Jane, and today I'm riding solo. So I'm going to go through a case with you. I hired a couple of new practitioners. Now, they're not new practitioners. They're new to me, but they're not new to women's health. They're not new to fertility. They just haven't specialized in fertility. And so as I'm taking them through, you know, my training process and familiarizing them with what I do, how I look at cases, my program, all of that stuff, one of the things that they asked me to do is to take them through a case. And this is a complex case, but I'm going to go through it in all the detail. And I've had a couple of team, you know, all the practitioners on and some of the support staff on, like the fertility success coordinator and the fertility strategist on, to kind of understand my brain and how I see the cases. Because after going through it, they were like, this is so valuable. Can you do this more? Can we jump on these calls more? Because it really helps them understand what the patients are going through, how we are doing things differently, and how the approach that I have created with the Maximize Fertility Program really works. Because I am a proponent for natural medicine and for the body. That doesn't mean that we're not going to use, you know, conventional medicine, and whether that's for surgeries or ART. And you'll see with this case of how I helped her walk through certain stages where we had to make a decision of what we're going to do. But what I really believe is that the body has an immense capacity to heal. And it's almost like I want to prove, because I've proved it to myself coming from a place of, you know, IBS and anxiety and all of these issues that were, I was told that this is just the way that I am, to, oh, I don't even have these issues anymore. I want to help couples go through that process, because I know that deep down you believe that there's something that's missing in your process. You believe that your body can do it, but everybody just keeps brushing you off. And part of that frustration is that, you know, you're not being validated for what actually is going on in your body. And then it makes you feel very broken, because you're just like, that's the way that I am. I guess there's nothing I can do about it. So after I finished going through the case with them, they were like, you need to do a podcast on this. So I made my notes. I made my summaries. I'm not going to share all of the labs in it, because honestly, it would take too long. And I made my notes, though, in terms of things that I want to share with you and what is important. So she is 35 and he is 36, basically the same age. She did an egg retrieval at 30 years old because she wanted to avoid infertility. And here she is struggling with infertility. This is how proactive she is. She wanted to make sure that she, you know, knew what she was doing, if you will. Like, at 30 years old, I want to freeze my eggs. But of course, something is preventing her from having a baby. So when we met, she was halfway through her fifth round of IVF. She was, you know, feeling absolutely terrible from the drugs and the fact that her body wasn't responding. And, you know, they had her on Oralissa because they saw some adenomyosis and endometriosis in her uterine lining. And she didn't even know that she had endometriosis, yet adenomyosis. So there's a lot of inflammation. There's a lot of disconnect from the body. She felt terrible from like this anxiety. Her digestion isn't going well. And she's done a lot of work. So for the last 2 years before she met me, she was doing mold and Lyme detoxing. She's been retesting and, you know, seeing some improvements in how she feels, but maybe 10 or 15%. And just getting to the point where she's really tired of doing all of this detoxing and all of this stuff. And it's like, there's no way I have to like just keep getting rid of this Lyme. And of course it kept showing up and the mold kept showing up. So she was just really frustrated with where she was with her functional medical doctor, obviously with the conventional system. And they, both of them have a really clean and pristine lifestyle. Like, these are people who have air filters in, the best water filtration system in, they have the highest quality food, you know, that I've seen out there. They're taking really high quality supplements. You know, she's probably taking like 30. He was taking like 20. There was a lot of stuff that they were already doing. So it was quite a puzzle to them of, you know, why is it that they're not able to conceive? So when I met them on a fertility strategy session, there was three really big things that stood out to me. So the first is she's never really worked with a fertility, natural fertility specialist. She's working with functional diagnostic practitioners who are really bright and really smart. And, you know, they're doing all the mold and the Lyme, but no one is looking at her from the fertility lens. So when they're detoxing, they're just like, yeah, you got to detox, because once you get the mold out, then you're going to be able to conceive. Or once you get the Lyme out, you'll be able to conceive. And 2 years later, she's still trying to get the mold out and the Lyme out and still not able to conceive. So obviously there's something missing. And I think when a practitioner doesn't work in the fertility space, and that's something that I train all of my practitioners on, they don't really understand the concept of time and the pressure of time that the fertility space, that the fertility community faces. You know, so us as women at 35 years old, the clock is ticking and you feel it. And I mean, she's had the clock ticking even before that. There intuitively, she knew something was off and she wanted to be proactive. So I find, and I can speak to this because when I've been practicing for 10 years, specializing in fertility for 5, and the first 5 years I've had a handful of fertility cases, and I wasn't aware of the concept of time. Those were my patients who would always follow through on the treatments. Those are the patients that would always follow up and, you know, make sure that they book their appointments. And I could feel the urgency, but I didn't feel the urgency. I didn't know what to do with that urgency as a practitioner. I was just like, well, I'll give them the next protocol and see what happens. And then, oh, I'll give them the next protocol and I see what happens. That doesn't really work in the fertility space. Obviously it does, but not for everybody, because the more complex the cases and the more that they work that they have already done, we have to be aware of the timeline, understanding why the things that they have already done have not worked. And then obviously making sure that we can move them along further. And that's going to come down to some critical testing. And we're going to talk about that in a second. So the first thing is that they did not have anybody looking at their case from the fertility lens. It was just general lens. The second thing, they actually had a lot of instability in their life. So they themselves were fighting a lot and they couldn't come on common grounds. And that was sparked because of some familial stress and disagreements, you know, between the in-laws. So even on that first call, I could feel and see how much tension there was for both of them. And you could see that they were really trying to work through it. They were getting counseling, they were doing all of these things, but there was just a lot of tension between them. And they also had no idea where they wanted to live. Like, they didn't like where they are living and they didn't know where they were going to go. And it's almost one of those, like, we have so many options, but we don't really know, and everything is changing all the time. And so their hope was that once they got pregnant, then they would figure it out. And once, you know, she had the baby, then they would fix the, not the marital issues, but the kind of the in-law stress and all of that stuff that was being brought up. So, and they knew it was kind of backwards, but they didn't really want to keep putting the fertility journey on hold because they've already been trying for 5 years or 4 years. And so it didn't make sense to say, okay, let's sort ourselves out. Let's figure out where we want to live. And then we'll start trying again, because of just that pressure of time was really, really, you know, prominent for them. So during the initial, we did the fertility strategy session. I was like, upload all the labs. Let me look at everything you've done. Let's do the initial consult. Let me understand a little bit more about your case. So during the initial consultation, some of the big things that stood out for me from like the physical standpoint for her is that she had really thick uterine lining. You can kind of see it increase over time. The only regret we have, if you will, is that she didn't, the egg retrieval that she did at 30 years old, she definitely got overstimulated, you know, like her ovaries got overstimulated. She could barely walk for like a week after she had the egg retrieval. And she didn't do any detox after that. Like, nobody told her anything. It was not a fun experience. And even then, the quality of the eggs and the quality of the embryos that were created, because she was already with her partner, so she didn't just freeze her eggs. I guess she froze her embryos. The quality of those embryos wasn't as good as I would assume they should be for somebody who's 30 years old. And so when we're looking at embryo quality, I am looking at sperm quality just as much as I'm looking at egg quality. And of course, none of that was really looked. at. And no one really did any proper like ultrasounds or check of their uterine lining. So we don't know when the uterine lining started to thicken, but we could see it that with every IVF round that she did, so she did 4.5, when we met, she was halfway through. And then when I was like, you guys, we need to sort through some things. Like if you genuinely feel like this is going to work, then let's go for it. But if there's any part of you that's hesitating and you feel terrible, then maybe we need to rethink what we're doing. And of course, they took a day or a night to think about it. And she was like, I got off all medications. I feel terrible. And I feel like even if I do get pregnant, I'm just going to like this pregnancy is going to kill me because she feels so out of control in her body. And she doesn't like she just feels really terrible. So they made that decision to stop. And that's why I say 4.5 rounds, because they just after having the initial consult, they just made the decision to not move forward with the last round of IVF because she was feeling so terrible and everything in her body was telling her not to do it. But she felt the pressure from him. She felt the pressure from the doctor to just keep going and pushing through. And she kind of forgot to listen to herself. So that was a really important component. Anyways, we discovered that she's had this thick uterine lining and it's kind of been increasing over time with every IVF round. It's like her body just, her uterus wasn't clearing. There were some polyps. She had really poor and sluggish digestion. And then her HRV on the Oura Ring, because she's had all the tracking, wasn't as good. And there's some blood sugar dysregulation that we saw in the lab. Like there was a bunch of little like, you're still quite inflamed. Something is going on here. And my rule of thumb is if you've been doing something for 2 years and it's still there, you're not identifying the root cause. So mold is not the root cause for everybody. Neither is Lyme. And there's something else that was preventing her from being able to release that mold, that Lyme, those parasites, whatever it is that she was working on. And so this is where the labs are going to come in. For him, he had really high ferritin. So he did not have hemochromatosis. He already ruled that out. And, you know, he's a really bright guy. Has a, you know, a very successful business, has done a couple of different startups and sold them and so on and so forth. But he is in that industry of, you know, go hard, work hard at nighttime and push. He used quite a bit of nicotine. They were going on like a carnivore diet because they heard, you know, vegetables were bad for you or you don't need them. They were doing a lot of raw dairy. Again, kind of following a lot of the biohackers and the trends, but no one looking at their data. They are looking at it. He didn't even have a practitioner. She did. But no one's really looking at their data and showing like, hey, your liver enzymes are elevated. Your ferritin is really high. This is a sign of really high inflammation or infection that's, you know, hanging out in the liver or in the blood. And we need to do more investigation. And, you know, he's never had deeper testing done. When we looked at the labs, so some of the labs that we did for them, the stool, the methylation, we did obviously really thorough lab work, a nutrient panel, environmental toxins, and we did a provoked heavy metal test on her because I knew something was missing. And my kind of hunch was that she has some heavy metal load, and that's why that mold, that Lyme, and even the parasites are just keep coming back. And she's, you know, quote unquote, not stable in that environment. Like she's relying on detoxing all the time. So her methylation was terrible. And the truth is she had some of the methylation already tested prior to meeting me. And we could see that it was off. And that's why I was like, hey, we just need to look at your whole methylation. But the doctor that had her doing the mold and the Lyme protocol told her that the methylation will fix itself once the mold and the Lyme is out of there. And that is actually, not only is it not true, but it's actually the complete opposite of what happens. Methylation is this biochemical process that happens in every single cell of the body. It is how the body does everything. It makes hormones, it repairs DNA, it repairs tissues, it detoxes, it makes energy. If methylation isn't working, you're not going to be able to detox. Methylation isn't working, you're not going to be able to repair your cells or make energy or make hormones or honestly not do anything. So if you're in this situation where you have done everything and you're doing it and it's not moving, it is actually probably going to come down to your methylation. It's going to come down to not just your MTHFR gene, but what is the whole methylation cycle doing? The folate cycle, the methylation, the transsulfuration cycle. it all plays such a big and important role in your fertility journey and literally in your health journey as well. So I always anchor my people into health because it's like, I can't guarantee a baby, but like, let's just help you feel better. Okay. Let's just start there. And then we can see what, you know, what happens from there. So both of them had pretty bad methylation. She had really terrible methylation. They had leaky guts. There was a lot of microbiome imbalances. For her, the provoked heavy metal test showed lead and mercury. And so there was facing. She could feel it. She could feel the heaviness in her body. She could feel the irritation in her nervous system. And, you know, she just wanted to get it out. Now, these guys have been doing a lot. So the first step is we just open up drainage and we really started focusing on calming the nervous system because there was so much tension. Now, I'll use this with different things. I'll use herb supplements, homeopathics, counseling. Like there were sessions where it was literally just a couple's counseling session because I wanted to understand where they were coming from, what was going on. And so with this couple, what I did is, I meet with my couples every 2 weeks. So every 2 weeks, I would just meet with them solo. And then once a month or once every kind of 6 weeks, we would meet together. So then I could work on them individually and see how I can make and shift things. And then together, when we come, I would see how the arguments are evolving, how they're communicating with one another, what's changing. And it was really cool to see because, he had a lot of methylation stuff. And actually just, I'm like, man, this is really low Sammy. This is like depression levels. And he kind of looks at me, he goes like, well, I would say I'm depressed. That's not anything that came up during the initial consult. It was on the labs. I look at it and I go, okay, so that makes sense. And maybe that's why you're stimulating yourself with nicotine so much or with caffeine or with whatever. And maybe that's why you're so irritated. He wasn't depressed in the same way that, you know, you're thinking about someone who's sitting on the couch and just eating chips or mindlessly doom scrolling or no, he was a hard worker. He would get up and push and, you know, but he was so irritated and there was so little pleasure in life for him. He just would like get up and be grouchy. And so that's how depression showed up for him. And I mean, as a practitioner, I'm always assessing it and I can see it, but it's hard to tell somebody who's like, hey, I think you're depressed. And he goes, no, I don't think so because I do this, this, and this. And then you see it on the labs. You're like, you know, this is levels of, you know, a level of this nutrient is someone who would experience a lot of depression. And he goes, you know, I am kind of depressed. Like I really do hate it here and I am always grouchy. And so it was cool to see that. But basically, that first step was to open up drainage and calm the nervous system because I just needed them to be able to bring down that adrenaline so they can actually hear one another. And I need them to move their digestive tract because it just wasn't moving enough. They only needed 2 weeks of that. We were very effective with our herbs and our supplements because they've already done so much. And then because we did so much testing up front, within 2 or 3 days, she was like, oh my God, I've never pooped this much. And it feels so good. And this little like kind of pouch that she was having in her belly was disappearing because it's like she was literally full of poop and she was getting it out. The second step was for her to get rid of these heavy metals and to really clear the uterine lining. So there's lots of herbs that we can use to help clear the uterine lining and bring blood flow to the uterus. And then for the heavy metal detox, we didn't want to push a really heavy hard detox because we don't want to deplete the system. And we also don't want to just like stimulate a really deep detox because heavy metals can take years to get out of the system. But I do want to get this kind of initial load that's hanging out that her body is having a hard time processing. And it's probably stuck in her tissues and your organs. And mercury has an affinity for the reproductive system, the ovaries. And so when we're looking at poor quality egg, a lot of eggs, and I see mercury, I'm definitely thinking that there is a correlation. And even lead obviously will cause a lot of oxidative damage, but lead tends to go to the bones and the nervous system. And her brain function wasn't bad by any means, but she is quite petite. And so I know that her bone density is something that's not, you know, super strong. And we had to work, she works out and she does all those things, but we had to work on it. So we did the heavy metal detox and decided to do suppositories, DMSA rectal suppositories, and then doing some uterine clearing. Of course, there's lots of mitochondrial support, liver support, gut support. And for him, there was a lot of microbiome support. And then we kind of continued to bring his mood up and to lift him up because, you know, he was in the gutter and it's, he was just the way that he was expressing it is this moodiness and this irritation. So it was really cool to see that. After 3 months, we retested her heavy metals. And so that was, this is the third step is we retest. Her heavy metals were gone, which is amazing. And we retested, we did a vaginal microbiome. And that was basically clear. There isn't really much that was going on there. And we did some blood work and we retested the uterine lining. So the uterine lining, unfortunately, still stayed thick. Like it, I don't even think it decreased it that much, but the amount of polyps, so she had like 4 polyps and then it went down to 2 polyps, or she had, you know, 5 and they went down to 2. So there was polyps that were decreased. And of course she felt lighter. Her digestion felt much better. Energy is much better. HRV is starting to improve. For him, we actually saw the ferritin starting to go down and the cholesterol starting to go down. And this was huge for him because for the last 2 years, he has been trying to bring his ferritin down and cholesterol down, and it has not gone down at all. So that was a really big, you know, win for him. The next step was, and this is where we are now, is we decided that she's going to need surgery. And the way that we decided that is because we retested blood work and we looked at day 2 and 3 and her FSH is at 14. So when we first met, it was at like 21, but she was coming off IVF cycles. So I knew that, her body needed time to reset. Now, 4 months later, her FSH is at 14 and her estrogen on day 2 or 3 is quite high. That AMH, she has pretty good AMH and pretty good LH, but what that tells us from this high estrogen and this high FSH is that her body is actually trying to reset and her uterus is not resetting. So when there's a thick lining in the uterus, it's like the communication between the uterus and the brain and the ovaries is all hindered because the ovaries are not like, well, I can't ovulate. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of inflammation. The uterine lining is thick. It's not shedding. I can't ovulate. But then the brain is like, you got to ovulate. So it's trying to scream at the ovaries. That's why the FSH is high. And then the ovaries are not responding because of what's going on in the uterus. So the decision that we had to make is, hey, do we give whatever we were doing 3 more months a try? So not the heavy metals, but like the go a little bit more aggressive with the uterine lining cleanse, or do we go in for surgery, get that, you know, get those polyps removed and scrape the lining to help essentially the brain, the uterus, and the ovaries reset so then the body can start to ovulate. We made the decision that we're going to do the surgery because we didn't want to wait another 3 to 6 months and retest. The, you know, she started having so many dreams about like having babies and her and her partner, like every month that we would have a call together, it was super cool to see how they would start to communicate to one another, how he started to treat her, how she started to understand and view him. Like there was just like so such a deeper connection to each other. And there's, you could just see that stress was melting away for them. So that was super, super cool. And for him, we're going to retest his ferritin again, because we did a pretty big gut protocol. So another couple of months, and I wanted to see what's going on with the ferritin. And then the goal is to essentially start trying. We are retesting the methylation because when I tested methylation on her, it was so bad. We'd done so much work. Now, before she starts, you know, before she gets pregnant, I really do want to see what that methylation is doing. We do have some genetics on her as well, because then we know which genes are going to make it difficult for her to, or like what nutrient demands are going to be much higher for her when she is pregnant. And so we're going to do that. And I'll keep you updated on this case. There's probably a couple more months until I have any updates. But here's my point, and here's what I want you guys to take away from this. There is so much more to fertility and to understanding your health than doing a Google search, than following a ChatGPT protocol. And don't get me wrong, I love all the information and the data that's available to us because we can now advocate for ourselves. And when the doctor comes in and tells us it doesn't matter when you test your hormones. You don't need to test this, or it doesn't matter if progesterone is low. You can literally punch it into ChatGPT or into Google and be like, yes, it does. It does matter. And you, like, you suck. I need another doctor. That's really good. Okay. Don't tell your doctor that they suck, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just so frustrating when doctors, I had a patient yesterday who was like, yeah, they just told me it was totally normal for me to bleed for an entire year. It's like, who says that? Like, who would say that? Any woman would never say that. And any man that has ever had contact with a woman should also never say that. You know, so it just makes me so frustrated. Anyways, the whole point is that there's so much more to being able to zoom out and understand what is going on for the body and why it's not responding. And for this couple, like, this methylation component was so, so big. And then really understanding that the mental and emotional component and the lack of them being able to get along in the fights that they were having were actually that they are the foundation of their family. And they were, that foundation was so cracked. And so she was trying to, they were both hoping that, like, well, once the baby's here, we'll just fix it. And they knew that it was wrong to think that, but they also just didn't want to wait. And so I say this because I know and I feel the compassion for this couple. And I was like, you guys, it really sucks that you can't figure that you are in this state, but don't you think it makes sense to sort through this? They just came to, and they're like, yes, it makes sense. We've just been trying to sort it for the last 3 years, and it hasn't been sorted. And this is where the physical component comes in, because if he's depressed, if she is anxious, if she's really toxic, and he has all these other microbiome imbalances, they are not really themselves. And so when they're having these fights and these arguments, it's not them fighting. It's the, you know, it's kind of like the bugs and the toxins that are not getting along and making them more less understanding and angrier and, you know, more depressed. Like, it's literally changing their personalities. And so as we removed those things, she relaxed and she started to trust him more. And he saw that trust and he stopped being so grumpy. He wanted to actually spend more time with her, and they would go on dates, and he started to court her and just feel more like a couple as opposed to, you know, just in the trenches trying to get somewhere they don't even know, you know, where they're going. So don't underestimate methylation. That's another point. The first point is that there's so much more to your health and to your fertility journey than following ChatGPT. Then don't underestimate methylation. And if your practitioner is not testing methylation, like, I really hope that that becomes the new standard. And that's part of my vision in the company that I'm building, is like to set a new standard in natural fertility care. We have to start learning about things that we're not comfortable with. I did not want to learn about methylation, but when I met my mentor, Dr. Leah Hetchman, and she started talking about methylation and how important it is, I started to learn about it because I understood how important it is, and I saw where my patients were getting stuck, and it's because I didn't address methylation. The next point that's really important for you guys to take away is don't underestimate your relationship with your partner. You are literally the foundation of your family, but it also will dictate your nervous system regulation. If you don't get along and there's a lot of tension and there's a lot of cortisol, your nervous system is hyped. So when we say stress impacts everything, and you know, there's lots of memes out there on the fertility, in the fertility world about hating to hear that you just need to relax and you'll be able to have a baby. But there is truth to that. If your nervous system wasn't so uptight and tense and dysregulated, your hormones will function better. It's just the ignorance part of saying that is, it's not just relaxing. It's not as easy as, oh, I'll just relax and go on a vacation. It's like digging deep and understanding why your nervous system is dysregulated in the first place. And a lot of it is unpacking your own crap, like unpacking your own traumas and understanding, why did I even attract this person into my life? And why am I working 13 hours a day? Or I hate my job, and why am I even doing it? So there's a lot to the relaxation component, but regulating your nervous system is really important. And I believe your relationship with your partner can either really help you regulate your nervous system, or it can make it very difficult. And so when I'm meeting a couple, I want to make sure that I feel good about bringing a baby into the world for this couple. And that means that they get along, they like each other, they know how to solve arguments, they're connected, they can go through difficult things together, because having a baby is going to be a very difficult thing. It's the hardest thing that, you know, you guys will do as a couple. And then the last thing, maybe there's more, but the last thing is the bugs and the metals, they will make it difficult for you to be you. So if you feel like you're just not yourself, it's because there is a high heavy metal toxic load, or there is a microbial imbalance, or there's something that's irritating your system and it's not really who you are. And that's why there's a lot of maybe even shame or frustration about saying some things and being really judgmental or being really abrasive with someone, or, you know, just not knowing what to do and feeling lost because your own cells are just so suppressed and these bugs and these heavy metals and these environmental toxins are just running the show. And so I use the testing to see what's really going on. And then I try to switch it and bring it to the fact that your human cells are much better and they're running the show. And then everything else is kind of in the background. The last thing that I'll say is you have to trust the process, but the process has to be working. Don't just trust the process when it's not working. So for her, she was trusting the process for 2 years, treating the Lyme and the mold and the detox. It doesn't take that long. And don't get me wrong, it takes long for some people and to go through the journey, but the way that we actually know if the process is working or not, besides looking at your symptoms, is to retest frequently. So I have a couple of patients that I'm working through right now, and I will be able to share those cases, you know, a couple months down the road, but they have some very chronic things going on for them, whether it's mold, whether it's Lyme, whether it's parasitic infections, really high, heavy metal, toxic load, a lot of trauma, a lot of mental and emotional, generational issues that they are just sorting through. We have to retest frequently so we know where we're going. If you don't retest and you're like, let's just give it another 3 months, let's just give it another 3 months, that's how 2 years goes by. And in the fertility space, and I mean, honestly, it doesn't, to me, time is everything. So I don't want to, I'm not the kind of person that's like, I'm just going to give it some time and see how it works out, even if I'm not trying to get pregnant, because I think time is the only resource that you cannot get back. And so we have to start valuing our time and how we spend our time and who we spend our time with a lot more. And I see a lot of people not valuing that because you're like, eh, it's okay, it's not worth it. I don't want to pay that much money for a test. You pay $600, $1,000 or $5,000 when you first start testing. But, you know, when you're retesting, you're not usually retesting everything. But paying $600 or $700 or even $1,000 to do a retest to see if you're moving in the right direction will save you thousands of dollars. Like, it literally, and so much time, because now you're not taking supplements that you don't. Like, she was taking 30 supplements and they weren't, I literally revamped all of them. I was like, I don't, you don't need any of these. I don't know why you're taking them. I know why she's taking them, but like, she just didn't need any of them. So keep that in mind. You need to, if you have a complex fertility case, you need to retest frequently to know that you're moving in the right direction. And if you take just one thing away from this, is that your body is incredible and it has such an amazing capacity to heal. And so if you're feeling broken and if you're feeling frustrated and you're feeling lost, you actually just have to lean back into data. And by data, I mean whether it's your data on the Oura Ring or looking at the testing to see what you might be missing. Because your body is always telling you the symptoms. That's how your body communicates with you when something is off. But if you, it's so hard to listen sometimes. And I still test. I have tests that I'm doing this week because I'm like, something is going on and I'm missing something. And instead of me guessing and getting another supplement and thinking it's this or it's that, I'm just going to do some testing. And then, you know, I always see a change as soon as I do that. So believe in your body, believe in yourself, invest in yourself, know that you are the greatest investment that you can make because you are the first place that the baby will grow. And your relationship with your partner is the first relationship that your baby will see and model and understand. And so it's really, really important for you guys to invest into yourself and to do it, quote unquote, smartly, so then you actually feel progress. I'm excited to share the next journey, you know, with this couple. There's a couple more months that we have, and I hope to share a positive pregnancy test very soon. But when they came to me, they were for sure thinking that they need IVF. And now they're like, we want to try naturally. We want to see what happens. And then we might still need to do IVF. But the fact that they believe that and she sees that is such a big, big change in her and in him that I'm, you know, I'm really happy and proud of the work that they have done. So thank you guys so much for being here. I know that was a lot. I hope you guys got a lot out of it. And I appreciate you for tuning in every week and listening to my rants. So thanks again for being here, and I'll see you next week.